one of the encouraging things here for us to notice is that she was the one who cast her eyes, raised her eyes on Joseph. Now Joseph, now, let me just back up. The start of this verse says, and it came to pass after these things. That means he's now been at Potiphar's house for quite some time. After these things means everything we talked about at the last reading, him, you know, him working faithfully, being promoted, until ultimately, you know, however much time it took before he was finally established as the highest ranking person of Potiphar's household. That took some time. It didn't happen, you know, in 6 months, a year. It could have been several years. You know, he was between him getting to Egypt and being exalted. It's a 13-year time period. So he was probably there for some time. He had probably interacted with this woman quite a bit. He probably had to deal with her many times. If Potiphar wasn't around to tell him what to do, I'm sure she was the one that was telling him what to do. And we don't read here that Joseph stole glances at her. You don't get any indication that she was not an attractive person. He doesn't say, you know, when he objects to her proposal, he doesn't say, wait a minute, you know, I don't like you, you're not my type, or, you know, you're ugly, or anything like that, or you're not attractive. You don't see that. She was probably a very attractive person. This was the wife that one of the top officials in the government chose. I'm sure she was very beautiful. But we don't read that Joseph was looking at her while he was working. And that's, I think, goes along with what Brother John's pointing out, that we do have to be careful. Because, oh, it's no big deal. I'm just, you know, just looking around, a lot to look at. I'm not, you know, I'm not thinking anything bad. I'm not, but, you know, it's this keeping yourself focused. That single eye. Again, kind of linking him with Daniel, that purpose in his heart, not to defile himself. I'm not going to let myself get distracted by this woman that I have to deal with every day, because if I start looking at her, I'm going to start to be affected. If I start focusing and dwelling on, oh man, my master has a really beautiful wife, oh, look at her. I'm sure she had the nicest makeup and all the fancy clothing and everything that was nice. This was a very wealthy household. But I'm sure he said to himself early on, okay, my master has a beautiful wife. I'm not going to sit there looking at her while I do my job. I'm going to keep myself away from her. She ends up being the one that starts going after him, looking at him. But I think this may have played out differently if Joseph allowed himself. There's no harm in a little look. There's no harm in, you know, flirting with the eyes, or, you know, making nice gestures or anything like that. He really, you get the sense that he really kept a significant distance. Not just he avoided evil, but he really kept a significant distance because he knew about that nature that we all have.
Now, the distance he kept, we have to ask ourselves how he did that. Because it certainly wasn't anything of himself. It wasn't his, through his power and his ability to say no, that he kept a distance. He kept a distance because he was dwelling in the heavens, as it were, as we are instructed to do. He had his eyes and a heavenly focus on God and on Christ. How do we know that? Because it says in Darby that she had to raise her eyes to see him. So he was already in the right position. And then what does she add? Lie with me. So she sees him above her in a way, and ask him to come down. And we should already be in that position. We know when we thank God for this, that in Romans, that the 6 verse 6, our old man is crucified with him. So our old man is on the cross in God's eyes. Positionally speaking, we are dead to sin. But that verse does not end. We have to henceforth not serve sin. So that is a practical, that is something that we have to actually do. So we have to keep the old man, we have to keep the flesh on the cross. And if we do that, if we keep it on the cross, We do that by seeing Christ, and they two go together. If he's on the cross, then we will be on the, in that position where we will be kind of looking down at the world. And that's not a matter of looking down at them and saying, look at this, this is bad, this is awful. No, it's a matter of being separate. It's a matter of being separate because of our heavenly position, being above everything that's below us. And the way to do that is to focus on Christ. The Colossians says to put to death the earthly members. And that has already occurred positionally. We have to do it on a practical, daily level. And how do we do that? Again, we have to focus completely on Christ, looking at his work. The work is done. The old man is on the cross, so we shouldn't ever bring him down.
Just to link with that, and it was given in the description of Joseph, she said concerning him, the Hebrew man, he was known in that house as a Hebrew servant. What does a Hebrew mean? He have crossed the Jordan. He have crossed the Jordan. That's a Hebrew. A Hebrew is a person that crosses the Jordan. What does the Jordan speak about? I die with Christ. The flesh was put down. He was known of that. If you look to Joseph, yes, he had the flesh. Yes, you and I had the flesh. You do have it. Don't fool yourself. You have it. And if you give it a chance, it will raise its ugly head. And it will act. Don't give it a chance. But Joseph was known that he was a person that was crucified with Christ. That no longer he lived, but Christ lived in him. So in interaction with people, they realized that Joseph already had crossed that river Jordan, had put that flesh into its right place, and now he is walking in the newness of life. She could characterize him twice, she said, concerning him, the Hebrew man. The next time she said, the Hebrew servant. He was known as a man who have put the flesh into its place. Again, as I said already, you and I have it. And we are not occupied, as we have heard, with the right things. We got to be occupied with something. We will be occupied with the wrong things. And the danger with this is this. Every one of us have this in us. That yearn, that lust, that look after these things, that desire these things, that have curiosity for these things. You have it in you. And if, unless you occupy your mind, your soul and your heart, as we have heard, with Christ, and you put the flesh where it belongs, it is asking.